from their community to ours. That's how you make the world go round.
Capital Ground.
27th State Street, downtown Montpelier.
Capital Ground.
I love this place.
RB Technologies on Route 14 in East Montpelier has been creating and supporting thoughtfully designed, custom-crafted computer networks for their clients since 1997. Here's Rob Weiss from the Central Vermont Council on Aging.
I went to RB Technologies because I was looking for a migration from our older technology server to a newer technology, but I went to a number of different companies. I settled on RB Technologies because they are local. I didn't feel talked down to, which was really important. With RB Technologies, you get a feeling that they're really there to help you. They're not there to like try to sell you something that you don't need. They're there to listen to you, and they'll make recommendations, and they won't do anything without asking about if that's what you want to do, and I found that to be invaluable.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies. Efficiency through technology.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conde. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Nice day out there today. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Coming up on the program this morning, in our second hour this morning, we're going to be chatting with Kathy Lamberton, who works for the Associated General Contractors, former lawmaker, who has been on this program in the past to talk about suicide. We're going to chat with Kathy this morning about a very difficult issue. We're going to talk a little bit about depression as well, too. If you haven't been following the news, one of our friends here on the program, Cheryl Hanna, former professor at the Vermont Law School, her husband, saying yesterday that Cheryl had been suffering from severe depression. So we're going to chat a little bit about that on the program this morning. Later this hour, we'll be joined by the Corrections Commissioner, Andy Polito. Some questions about whether more prisoners should be brought back home here to Vermont. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the program as well. Love to hear from you at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. We begin this morning, and we're going to chat with the president of Jay Peak Resort. Bill Stenger is joining us live on the line. There have been some questions raised by investors, EB5 investors, in the very ambitious development plans up in the Northeast Kingdom, and some changes in one of the investment deals that was made, which has been raising some questions. There's been a couple of pieces now on the VT Digger site, and Mr. Stenger joins us live on the line. Bill, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. It's a beautiful day up here in Orleans County.
The questions that have been raised, there were 35 investors, original investors, who put up $17.5 million. These are foreign investors who are investing with the hopes of getting a green card and U.S. residency. As most people know, there's no guarantee on these investments. What was the understanding when these investors made this investment about when and whether they get their money back?
Yeah. Mark, first of all, thanks for inviting me to be on the program to bring some clarity to this issue. Every EB-5 program that we have and every EB-5 program around the country, and there are about 700 of them right now, they extend an invitation to an investor to participate in a project with the following expectations. And in the case of our Tram House Lodge, which was our first project, there were 35 investors, each investing $500,000 into an approved project that is intended to create jobs and to expand a business. Our investors, each one, put in $500,000. A beautiful hotel was built. Developmental jobs were created. Operational jobs were created. Each investor expected to get their green card, and indeed did. Each investor expected to get the conditions removed and the green cards made permanent, which implies that the jobs and the project was indeed completed and constructed and implemented as planned. And then the last thing that an investor is expecting after the permanent green card is established and the job creation assured is that there's some means to get their funds back in the future. USCIS does not allow by law that the investment be guaranteed can be guaranteed. And the reason that that is part of the law is that the reason the EB-5 visa exists is to create jobs, and USCIS's goal, and certainly our goal, is that those jobs are sustained over time, and they don't, you know, they don't appear for a few years and then disappear. So we have, as part of every one of our projects, what we call an exit strategy, which means that after the project is built, after the jobs are created and the business has an opportunity to mature for a few years, we will take note of what the market conditions might be, and we will decide whether or not we can pay back the investors, how much we can pay them back, and when we can pay them back. And according to the agreements that we reached at the very beginning of the program, that responsibility and opportunity is solely the duty of the general partner, and that's me. Now, the first project we opened in 2009. We have had a successful run at the Tram House Lodge. Last summer, about now, several of the investors were asking us, do you have a plan to start paying us back? And they indeed asked us to do so. We put together a plan that involved a payback schedule and plan. I have openly acknowledged that we did not communicate in a timely way the details of that plan, and we initiated it in January, and it was in part caused by not having all the documents completed, but there was no gain to JP by not communicating the details of this last August. We communicated to the investors in detail in January, and we've begun paying back the partners. We've improved the payback cycle so that the investors will be paid back 100% of their investment by 2018. So they will have gotten their green cards. Their green cards have been made permanent. We have started a repayment program that will be completed by 2018, and 100% of their investment will be paid back and is now guaranteed by the full faith and capacity of the entire JPEAK Resorts assets, which assures them that they're going to get 100% of their funds back. I feel in balance that that is a very good outcome. They made an investment. They did so knowing that the investment was an at-risk investment, and that's required by USCIS, the United States Immigration Service. They got their green cards made permanent, and they're now getting a guaranteed return of 100% of what they put into the project.
When you said at the beginning here that when they would get the green card, and you talked about the $500,000, that under the original deal they would, quote, get the money in the future, was there no repayment plan? I mean, was it really that vague?
Yes, it is that vague, and it's that vague with all of the projects, because there can be no guarantee according to the federal law. The thing that I want to share with everyone is that the purpose of the EB-5 program is job creation, and job creation in rural high unemployment areas. We've benefited substantially from this program because it has allowed us, Mark, to build things and to create things that otherwise would not have been able to be built. You visited JPEAK before, and the things that we have here, especially since 2008 when the banking collapse occurred internationally, commercial financing for the things that we have done just would be non-existent. The EB-5 funds and the whole program by federal statute is designed to be at-risk job creation in rural high unemployment areas. And that's exactly what we have done. We've invested funds, built things, created things that have helped our economy tremendously. I don't know if you recall last Thursday when Jeff Carr and our other state economist, Mr. Cravat, mm-hmm. presented their findings in terms of job growth and job creation in Vermont. But Orleans County is the highest performing job creating county in the state right now. And they attribute it to the many years of investment that we have undertaken here. I deeply regret that we did not communicate the strategy in a more timely way with the partners. That was a blunder. It unfortunately was a mistake. However, the investments have been made. The jobs have been created. They're getting guaranteed return of their investment. And I'm proud of all of those things. And that's where we're at this point.
We're talking with Bill Stenger, the president of Jay Peak. Why then, if this is such a much better deal, Bill, are more than half of these people, according to the piece in Vermont Digger, incensed when they learned in January that their ownership stake had been turned into an IOU, upset by the delays and notifications, unhappy with the terms, and doubtful of its propriety?
Well, I think they were disappointed in not being communicated with in a timely way, and that set off a trigger of other concerns. We have apologized for the clumsy communication. The payback is guaranteed. The terms have been improved to be paid back totally by 2018. Those are good outcomes. I can't undo the fact that there was a lapse in communication, and that was wrong, and has not, you know, I can't say any more than we erred in doing a poor job of communicating in a timely way. Much of it was because of the delay in document creation, but nonetheless, should have communicated better, and for that, I am sorry, and we've expressed that sincerely to the partners, and they understand that now.
But it sounds like some of them are certainly clearly still upset about it if they're quoted in this story saying that. So you haven't appeased all of them.
Well, I suspect that may be the case, but we're reaching out to them and have offered to discuss any and all aspects of this with them, and stand ready to do so.
You need to help me understand something. We're talking about a lot of money here, Bill. How do you have non-communication when we're talking about this level of money and really a relatively small number of investors to communicate with?
Mark, it was an error. You know, we were traveling. We were doing a lot of other things. We were completing construction. I was also waiting for documents to be created. So that the exhibits that were going to be part of this, there was a delay in the creation of the exhibits. I just should have pushed harder, and it took a few months to get the documents created, and look at the price we're paying for it by failing to get it done in a timely way.
So why not delay the change until you had all of that done?
You know, in hindsight, I wish I had. I have second guessed myself a lot on why didn't I communicate better. It's not like us to not do that. It was an error. I've accepted full responsibility for it. There was no gain whatsoever to be had by JPEG by delaying the communication. None whatsoever. And we've obviously been criticized for it. I accept the criticism. We've reached out to every partner, apologized to them, given them all the documents that they possibly need. The payback schedule is a decent one, and it's going to complete the cycle of paying back 100% of their investment, and for that I'm pleased.
How do you pay for $17.5 million of an initial investment out of the current property?
Well, we're a growing company with growing income and growing proceeds. We will have the ability to do this, and we're at a point in our evolution where we're capable of meeting the obligations we have. It's taken a few years. We've built a lot of amenities. We've grown our business substantially, and we have the ability to do this, and we will do it.
Are you allowed to use investment money that you get today to pay back initial investors?
No, and we wouldn't do that ever. What we do have is we have a resort that is growing in value, and we have a resort that's growing in attendance and operating proceeds, and it's a substantially bigger and better operation than it was 6 years ago.
You're kicking off enough profit here that you can pay back $17.5 million to people in 5 years.
Yes, we'll be able to do that, or we'll be able to finance the property to do so if we need to.
Okay, so one option would be to further increase the debt at JP.
That's absolutely right.
Pay off the
3 or 4 years from now, we would easily be able to do that if we needed to.
Why did you change the deal? It sounds as though, to me, that you might have been better off keeping it vague like it was in the past.
Well, the decision we made a year ago to repay the investors was a decision that we could have made, or we could have said, the market conditions right now just don't allow for any change, and we would just keep operating the hotel and paying dividends to the investors. We made the decision to begin a payback of the principal. We could have done nothing. And, frankly, sometimes I say to myself, well, maybe that's what we should have done. We should have just waited another year or two to begin paying people back. But some of our investors wanted to see something started, wanted to see the principal being returned, and we opted to do that. The manner of communicating how we were doing that, frankly, is the biggest error that I made. And as I said a few times now, apologize for that error. A year ago, we could have said, Mark, market conditions just are not such that we're going to change anything right now. We'll revisit it in a year. But right now, we're making no change. And that would have been it.
Mm-hmm.
We could have done that. But we didn't. We've started the payback. And we'll complete it, and we'll get, and it's guaranteed, and we'll be completed by 2018.
Because I guess where I'm having difficulty understanding this. If this was such a much better deal, I would think you would be racing to communicate that to the investors.
Sometimes you screw up, and I do not have a good answer other than what I said, which was we were preparing documents, and we did not communicate in a timely way. It was a mistake, and I regret it. But it was not done with any benefit in mind or any advantage in mind, because, frankly, you've pointed out, it gives the appearance of something that's wrong. We didn't do anything wrong, other than we didn't communicate it in a timely way, and that's more than regrettable.
You said before that look at the price that we're paying. What do you think the price is that you're going to pay on this?
Well, we have a lot of investors in our program, and they're wonderful people and great partners. And when you do something that places mistrust in their mind, that's an enormous price to pay. It was not intended. It's not the way we feel about the partners. We have worked incredibly hard to give them everything that they expected, their green card, the permanent authorization of the green card, and now a payback schedule that's guaranteed. Those are really good outcomes, and they're everything that the investor had hoped to get. The fact that there was a lapse in about 4 months of communication is a mistake, and I regret it. I can't undo it. I can't undo it. I can only learn from it and make sure that we don't ever make a mistake like that again.
Let me take a call from Burlington. John, good morning.
Good morning, folks. Personally, I oppose the concept of EB-5. I think it is really unethical to link investments with access to the United States. My question is this. Many of these investors are from China. Is that correct?
In our particular program, less than 25% are from China.
Okay, well, regardless, let's just look at those and the others also. Is there any kind of background check that's made on these businessmen to see how they made their money, given the way that we know that there are many businessmen in these foreign countries are becoming millionaires by employing workers in factories that are less than acceptable by our standards?
I can tell you that the USCIS does an exhaustive background check on every investor. They look at their source of funds to see to it that it is legally and ethically earned. The vast majority, I would say all of our investors are outstanding families, outstanding people, well-educated. They bring to this country not only their education and their income, but they make contributions in the communities that they live in around the country. You know, the fact that some of our investors are from China is wonderful. Many of our investors from China are graduate students in the United States who wish to work here when they get their graduate degrees. They're outstanding young people, and they're going to make a great contribution to this country. There are 24 countries that I know of in the world who offer investor visa opportunities. Canada has welcomed billions of dollars of visa investment. The UK has a visa program. Australia, New Zealand, all have these programs. It has allowed us to generate capital to create things in a rural high unemployment area that otherwise would not have been created. And it's a very, very good program. And we've done great work. We've created great programs, great outcomes. We made a mistake in how we communicated the details of the payback program on this project. And we regret that very much, but if you look at the job creation, the developmental improvements that have taken place in Orleans County and now in Caledonia County at Burke Mountain, they're outstanding outcomes, and the access to capital in rural communities is so scarce that the EB-5 program provides a great capital alternative, and it creates jobs, and it improves the lives of thousands of people in our region.
Your partner was quoted in the Digger piece today saying that part of what was going on, one of the reasons you wanted to change how this investment was done, was to show future investors that initial investors are getting paid back. So was that part of this kind of rush that was done to change this deal so that you could then impress investors when you were doing these trips?
Well, no, because I was on some of those trips, and we don't get asked that often about the return. What we get asked most about is, will the visa be issued, and will the jobs be created, and will the visa be made permanent? People are interested about repayment in the future, but the thing that most investors are interested in is, will they get their visa, and will it be made permanent? The major thrust for why we initiated the payback, Mark, was the inquiries we got from our investors saying, we've been in the program now over 5 years. When are we going to start to see a return of our principal? And that was the prime motivator for what we were doing. The fact that we were traveling was secondary.
And was one of the investors putting pressure on your partner who also invested in this?
Putting pressure on my partner?
Yeah. What was your partner's feeling about this?
Well, we all understand that our investors are expecting their green card. They're expecting it to be made a permanent green card. And at some point in the future, they're expecting to see some repayment of their investment. So we agree totally that that's appropriate. Now, the time that you do it and how you do it is really the question mark. What can you do? When can you do it? And my bottom line is, make sure that your payback schedule does not jeopardize the business and does not jeopardize the jobs that you've created. And you've got a balancing act between the payback of the investment and making sure that your business stays healthy and the jobs are created and those jobs are healthy. And we prioritize that, but both are important. And we are secure in the job creation and sustaining those jobs. JPEEK is a healthy organization with very good employees and lots of job creation, and we have to keep that, and we want to keep that. And you don't want to see a situation where, gee, you choose one over the other. Both are important, and that's why we phased the payment schedule so that it will allow for the healthy operation of the company and the healthy, respectable payback of the investor.
You've raised, is it accurate, about $300 million in EB-5 money?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so how is that money ultimately going to be paid back? How is that money ultimately going to be paid back?
Well, the phasing of the payback of each project comes at different times. We're looking at a host of different ways of funding each project, and over the next 6 or 8 years, our most recent projects are just under construction now, and will be completed in 2016, and a repayment decision or strategy for those projects won't be really on the table until probably 2021 or 2022. But we'll have a strategy for each, and I can assure you we'll communicate it better than we did this first one.
What stops you from using new investment money, to pay the old investors off?
Each project stands on its own. Each project has its own construction budget, and the funds for each project are committed to the outcomes of that particular project. So, that's the purpose of what the funds are for, and that's what we adhere to, and, that's how it works. We're not, Mark, obligated by the USCIS EB-5 regulations to pay back anything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not obligated by law to pay back anything. We choose, after a certain period of time, to look at how can we begin to pay back the partners, because we know that that's something that ultimately, at some point in the future, they are expecting us to consider. But there's no gun to our head to pay back on such and such a date. Remember, and I said this a couple of times, the purpose of this program from a federal level is job creation. And create jobs in a rural, high unemployment area and allow those jobs to be healthy and allow them to be sustained. And when you can pay back the investor, good. But you're not obligated by law or obligated by some self-imposed timeline to do that. We'll do it when the business can sustain it, and we're looking at a variety of different methods in which to do that. And we will be successful.
What about there's reference to guidelines that the way this is supposed to be done if you change an investment is to poll or get a vote of the investors?
The general partner in the EB-5 offering document that we have and that is typical in the world of offering documents gives us the responsibility and the authority to make these decisions. We are the general partner. This is a limited partnership, and the general partner is given the right and the duty and the responsibility and the opportunity to make a decision of this sort on the basis of what they feel is in the best interest of the project and the employees and the partners. So we acted totally within our rights, and we did so legally and correctly.
Okay, but I mean, is there a general understanding, a general practice? Somebody in the EB-5 program made reference to that typically what happens is you poll the investors.
I don't know that there's precedent for that, but, you know, I've been asked that question, do you think you should have polled the investors? And again, in hindsight, I think I would have done that. I think I would have gotten a pretty strong majority saying, look, we'd like you to start paying us back. I think that the thing that sticks in some of their craw is the fact that we didn't inform them in a timely way, for which I am deeply regretting and sorry that is how it unfolded. It's not like us. It's not like me. It was an oversight, and I've apologized for that deeply.
And the problem is, because you have a reputation for not doing that, as you describe it, when it does happen, people, you know, will fill in a vacuum and wonder what's going on.
You're totally right, and that's why I was so willing to come on your program to try to explain it.
Have any investors complained to Securities and Exchange, or is anybody looking at your operation because of this?
I don't know that. I know that we've been very transparent in all of our documents and all of our operations, and you know, anyone who comes here and looks at the facilities, and you know, if you look at the job creation reports that are part of the federal reporting structure we have, it's incredibly impressive what we've done and what we've created. And you know, the thing that's unfortunate with all of this, Mark, is that the visas have been issued, the jobs have been created, the facilities have been built, the job creation numbers for Orleans County are leading the state, and that's something that's never happened, I think, in the history of Vermont. And unfortunately, those good things are overshadowed by a communications blunder that we made, and it's just a shame. It's a shame that the good work that has been done, and the job creation that's created, and the great business outcomes that are really there, are overshadowed by a mistake that we made, and I'm sorry about it.
So, as you say, you're not aware anybody's looking into this regulatory wise.
Well, I don't know that, but we provide our documents to state and federal officials. The USCIS has all of our documents, and I'm sure that any inquiries that get made, we would cooperate totally with.
But you'd be made aware of that,
of
right?
Of course, sure.
Okay. All right. So you're not aware of any.
No,
at this
we're totally transparent here with everything that we've done.
So, Bill, how do you win back trust?
Well, we have to do it by being honest about the mistake and not try to hide from it. We just, you know, did not communicate it as timely as we could have and should have, and I regret it. But we're as I said, our job creation actions are very, very strong, and our results are here. It's a great project. The new projects we have are great projects, and we'll just have to build our reputation one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Can you, one last question I've never understood. How does it work with you and your partner? Are you equal partners? Is one of you a more significant partner than another?
Well, we're equal partners, Jay. Yeah, we are.
Financially or, I mean, I'm sure title-wise as partners, but how does it work financially?
Well, you know, some of the relationship, those are internal, and I'm not at liberty to state.
Okay.
That's private.
Thank you for your time this morning.
I appreciate you letting me come on and talk with you about it, Mark. Thank you very much.
Bill Stenger is the president of Jay Peak Resort. We were talking about the EB-5 program. We'll take a quick break. We'll chat with the corrections commissioner coming up next.
Our service department is growing every day.